How do I keep a pure thought life? How do I say no to all the temptations that are online? How do I say no to when a friend's trying to put pressure on me? How do I do this? Meditate. I promise you it'll change your life. But you have an enemy. You have an enemy of meditation. So do I. It's right here. It's not your fault. You didn't ask to be born today. And we talked even about memorization and meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You should always be ready to have that scripture that you need to deal with anger. In fact, do this. Turn to the person next to you right now and tell them the number one verse you would use in your heart when you get angry. Give the reference and tell them at least the beginning of the verse. Go. Okay, look at me. Let's do one on fear. When you are filled with fear, the first verse, give the reference, chapter, book, verse, and start the verse to your friend. Go. Fear. Okay, what do you do for lust? Give him a verse. Go. Okay, look at me. I think cowboys are cool. Anybody here want to be a cowboy when they grew up? And one thing about a cowboy, they always had the gun right by their side. So the second they boom, quick draw. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Our biggest problem in winning in this whole morality thing and having thought lives that lead, clean thought lives that lead to clean living, is we don't even have our gun in the holster. And if we do, we are so slow at getting it out that we get riddled with bullets before we even pull it out. Because we don't memorize and meditate on the Word of God. Now, we want to be prosperous, and we want to have good success, but God says, don't worry about those things. You just simply meditate. Meditation toolbox. If you truly want to learn how to dig into the Word of God, then you need to get the right tools. Now, if you guys, I'm talking about you boys right now, if you guys are real men, and you've not lost your man card, when you go to a mall with mom, you at least go to Sears and look at the tools, okay? You got to, but and we laugh, but did you know girls have their own toolboxes? I'm serious. I got a daughter. I've got a wife. They grab their Craftsman toolbox, carry it into the bathroom. When you open it up, they get like pliers, all kinds of, they get pliers that are round with little rubber tips, and they hold it in their eyes like this and like this, throw them in there. Then guys, these girls do something real weird. They pull out these needle-nose pliers, and they do something like this. They go, ow, ow, ow. It's weird because they pull these hairs out. Then they take a pencil and write them back on. I don't understand it, okay? But if you want to have tools to get the job done, number one, your Bible. God wrote a book. It's the precious Word of God. God that spoke the world into existence, the same God that we will kneel before someday. And we treat his book like it's a newspaper that we throw away every week. We don't love it and learn from it. We don't. And this same Bible that we're told to hide in our hearts, we don't because we have it hidden on our phones. And all we have to do is pull up an app. And therefore, we don't learn. You say, but Rand, I don't always understand the Bible. Then get yourself a great study Bible. I personally like to get a new study Bible every other year and read it all the way through. And there's some wonderful ones out there that would be a great ones. Talk to your pastors and youth pastors. Word study helps. There's a guy named Zodiades. There's Vincent's and Vines. I'm serious. You get some of these Bible helps. You can get them online. And you can study what the words mean because words change. Like, you know, Stephen got stoned, and one kid said, yeah, that buddy got stoned 2 weeks ago. Totally different word, okay? Doesn't even mean the same. So some of those words change. Or Bible dictionaries. Now, this one I smile because when my kids were growing up for Christmas, we would normally get them what they would want, you know, some cool toy or whatever, but it also getting something for their libraries. And we got a Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Got him, Spurgeon's Treasury of David, the B series, always buying something to add to their library so when they want to study the Word of God, they can. Commitment of time. This is simple. We talked about it last session, moms and dads. In our home, if you wanted to play a video game, welcome to it. But you had to earn the time. If it's an hour game, fine. You had to read an hour first. You read for how much time you want to play. That simple. And that's not hard. And once you get in the habit of that, you'll find you'll read more and play less. A set place. I can't even explain to you guys how important this is. One of you came up to me earlier today and said, "What? Help me. How can we stay consistent?" Set play. If you don't have a set place, a set time, a set plan, if you don't, you won't. It's that simple. You're not going to just, I think I'm going to go spend an hour with the Lord. Set place, set time, set plan. That's the only way you're going to get consistent with this. And then pray. God wrote the Bible. Ask him to open your heart and mind, okay? Would you read this together with me with the reference? Ready? Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his seat. Say, amen, Rand. That is such a cool verse. I really like it. What does it mean? I have no idea, but it's really a cool verse. And that's what we do. And this verse, you could read it for 50 years without taking 5 minutes to stop and to think. Ready to go? This will be very didactic. I don't have a lot of cool stories on this one. Let's work together on this one. The personal pronouns, his, himself, he, his. Look at the verse grammatically. Who are they referring to? What is the one word that shows us the subject of this sentence? So you're not embarrassed. What is it? It's the wicked. The wicked himself, his own. When are you wicked? Two words, iniquity and sin. Now, there's trespassers, there's falling short, there's a lot of different words used for different genres of wickedness. One of these means defiant, irreverence, I don't care what you say, God. The other one is like a non-thinking. You ever do something stupid and wish you hadn't done it, okay? That was maybe selfish or hurtful? That's what the other one's talking about. So your iniquities, your sin. Ooh, you help me. Take the word own. Raise your hand. Help me. What do you mean? Don't make this hard. The very first thing that comes to your mind, help me out, everybody, young and old alike. Help me out. We'll be here a long time if you don't. Okay, you possess it. Give me more. It's his own. Don't make it hard. It belongs to me. I possess it. Very good. Couple more. Raise your hand. Help me out. Okay, it was given to me. It's just mine, okay? What do you mean it's mine alone, no one else's? Who else could it be? His own is sin. So when you guys get really upset and mad, it's not your fault. It's your sister, right? It's that little brother. You know which one I'm talking about. It's my mom. It's my dad. It's because they made me eat Cheerios with orange juice on them, okay? It's not my fault. No. Don't, when you're doing it, this is his own. These are my sins. I'm the one that thinks them. I'm the one that does them. I'm the one, it's mine. Now, the word shall take. Remember, this is from Solomon, so this is military. This verse is another military verse. What's another way, if you're thinking of warfare and battle, that would be? Shall take. Say it out loud, somebody. Capture or conquer, okay? So his iniquities will come in, and he's going to capture the wicked. Now, back in that day, they didn't kill them off because they actually used them as slaves. It was their machinery, okay? It's how they made money, to do the farming, do the building, or whatever. So they need to incarcerate them, and that's what shall be holden means. But during the days of nights, during the Dark Ages, or even Solomon's time, what was the jail called back then? Say it out loud. Very good, dungeon, okay? Help me out. Start raising your hands and tell me some of the things. Don't say it out loud. Raise your hands if you can tell me something, what a dungeon is like. Raise your hands, I'll point to you. Okay, it's very cold. It's very dark. It's very damp. I'm sorry? I still didn't hear you. Not colorful. I've never heard that one before, but that's very true because it's pretty dark and you wouldn't see the colors, okay? It could be rat, more than mice, rats. You know why? Because, like, it was really smelly. They didn't have bathroom breaks, okay? So the floor was covered with, you know? And it was dank. It was just it was smelly. It was, and if you're down in there, I'm going to climb out of there. But they don't want me to climb out. So they're going to keep me there by fastening me to the walls with what? Chains, or what's the name for that? Shackles, very good. So the enemy captures somebody, throws them into this dungeon. They shackled in the wall. And the individual says, I want to break free, but I can't. I might die here. I may never see my family again. What can I do to break free? Look at me. Everybody look at me. What sin do you guys do over and over and over and over and over again? You want to break free. You want to stop. But you feel like you can't. We read this verse 5 minutes ago. It meant nothing. Because we're moving on. We want to play our games and watch our TV. 5 minutes of meditation. That's what we just did. All we just did was meditate, which means to think, okay? Would you say this verse out loud together with me? Ready? 2 Peter 2:14. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. All right, you're with your groups right now? And sponsors, move around so you can talk to those in your group. I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to give you like 2 minutes for each phrase, and then I'm going to point to some of you. You're going to tell me what this verse means, okay? I want you to think about this phrase, having eyes full of adultery. Talk about it right now with your friends, with sponsors. Go, go. If you need to move somewhere else, you can. Seconds. Okay, freeze. Stop right here, okay? Having eyes full of adultery. Pick somebody to kind of be the spokesman, and you'll say it, and I'll probably repeat it for you. In your group, what did you say about this? Just give me one thought from this phrase.
We thought that it would be like looking always towards things other than God.
Okay, looking at things other than God, okay? Somebody else? Give me another one. Yes, your group. Okay, looking for lust, having eyes full of this, almost like they don't want to see anything else. Oh, yeah, very, very true. Now, you ain't long day that. We're going to get to the other points, okay? So he added to that, yes. Okay, it's not yours. Very, very good. All right, having eyes full of adultery in our world today. You guys live in a sad world. It's a world of porn. It's a world of trash. And in movies and TV and so forth, this is just part of the world we live in. And so the individual begins by looking or seeing. Okay, let's go to the next phrase. They cannot cease from sin. Go. Seconds. Okay, freeze. Now, this is pretty simple, actually. Let's go to group. What about here? What'd you learn from that?
Basically, if they want to stop sinning, they just can't because they're too addicted.
Honestly, he said all the key words in there. They want to stop. But they can't. They're addicted. They're enslaved. It's exactly what we've talked about all day. Impurity will enslave you. You'll become addicted to it. You want to break free. You want to stop, but you can't. Now, because of time, we're going to go on, but I think most of us got this one. Let's go to one that's a little bit tougher. Ready? Beguiling unstable souls. 3 words. Go for it. 30 seconds. Okay, look this way. Let's take the first word, beguiling. Raise your hand for your group if you can help me with that. What does beguiling mean? Yes. Deceiving. Okay, give me some more. Enticing. Very good. Anybody else? Tricking. To be trapped. Okay. To warp. Okay. This beguiling, can anyone refer at least to where it's used in another place in Scripture? This is part of meditation. Eve, okay, as Satan subtly beguiled Eve through the simplicity of the gospel, he lied to her. He cheated her out of the truth of God's best, okay? So there's some cheating. Those who have eyes full of adultery, they're addicted to it. And they normally take another step and they try to trick or cheat who? What is an unstable soul? Help me. Okay, those who are not strong spiritually. Can you give me more? Be more specific even. Okay. Okay, they're trying to beguile, cheat them into this sin. What's the concept of unstable? Say it again. Naive. Very gullible. Keep going. No foundation, so they can fall easy. Go ahead. Vulnerable. Okay, who are we talking about? You ever watch little kids, like when they're just learning how to walk, you know, and they fall and then they take up more steps and walk. They're young and they're inexperienced. And look at me. The last five guys I counseled, they're totally addicted to porn, all started at the age of 11. Okay. 11. They don't know the word. They don't know God well enough. They're unstable. They quickly, easily fall. They don't have a foundation. It's just the youthfulness and the age. And the sad thing is, these creeps that fill their eyes with this trash who are already addicted, it makes them feel better, or they just do it for their own thrills. They cheat other people out. That's the whole porn industry. That's those who try to trick people and put the phone up in front of people's faces. That's what we have to face in life. But let's go to this one. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices. There's a couple very important words in this phrase. Go. Seconds. Okay, time up. Help me out with the very first important word in their heart. Raise your hand. This is a heart issue. Can anybody help me with that? Anybody you do study that word? Yes. Okay, just heart. We'll get to the practice in a minute. Just heart. Anything else? Okay. Okay, your center of emotions. Anybody else want to add? It's not very difficult here. Okay, your mind and emotion is tied in because you think in your heart. Okay, I want you to get this. Anyone who gets addicted and involved in pornography is a very arrogant, unloving person. Anyone that becomes addicted to that, they don't care about their parents or their kids or their wives or their husbands. I already know what you guys are going to do 2 years from now in regards to your purity. I do. You're going to do what you love. If you love your parents, you love your future husband or wife, you love your God, you're going to fight to stay pure. But I'm telling you, if you love you, you're going to sin. This is going to be your life. The heart, it is a heart issue. We do what we love. A heart, they have helped me out with the word exercise. I'll give you the Greek. Anybody know the Greek word for it right off? Gymnasio, gymnazo. It's called like a gymnasium. How many of you work out faithfully every week? Let me see your hands. How many of you should work out faithfully every week, okay? All right, help me. What did you get from this? Raise your hand. Help me out. A heart which they have exercised.
Something you've done repeatedly.
Yeah, very good. Something you do repeatedly. Actually, until the point you get pretty good at it, okay? Trained and practiced over and over. You're training yourself to think in an evil way, okay? Okay, both bad habits and good habits, okay? Habits are habits. Okay, get your mind, just continue. Anybody else on this one? They've exercised, they've worked hard. You know it takes a lot of work to sin? You have to sneak around. You have to cover it up. You have to constantly hope that nobody will find you, and you got to deal with the cookies and the history on your computers, and you spend a lot of time sinning and a lot of effort covering your sin. You exercise. You work at this. If you spend the same amount of time exercising your heart to righteousness and meditating on Scripture rather than meditating on trash, you would be shocked at the difference in your life. What is this covetous practices? Covetous, help me out. Yes. Lustful, selfish, somebody else? Things that you really, really want? More? Okay? Louder? All about you? You don't care about anybody else? That's pretty good. Wanting something so badly, you're willing to sin to get it. Let's go back a few hundred years to these things called the Ten Commandments. Does that word come up in the Ten Commandments at all? Yes or no? Thou shalt not covet what? It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox or ass, that's their truck and a car, or their manservant or maidservant, that's their dishwasher and their microwave. Watch me. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, even if she's in a movie or on a website. It is sin. You're coveting, as some of you said, you're desiring that which God never, ever intended you to have, and you're willing to disobey God and sin to get it. Whoa. Because they love it. They work hard at desiring that which God never wanted them to have. The last phrase simply is, cursed children. I've said it over and over this week. You can choose your sin, help me at the end, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. Wow. Let me tell you why I wrote this book called Lest You Fall, Meditations to Fight More Impurity. So I get a call, and they ask me at this Bible, they publish books like this, would you write for us? I said, no. I barely have a bachelor's. I was a plumber getting through college, okay? I didn't wear plumber's pants, but I was a plumber getting through college, struggled academically, graduated with a very, very low GPA, and I said, there's no way I can write, come on. And they said, could we take one of your messages? They did, and put it into book form. Then they came back and said, are you writing anything? I said, yeah, but not for you. I'm not writing anything, just for me. What do you have? Well, here's what I had. In 3 weeks, I had three of my friends who had all three worked for us at camp, who had been through the Bible colleges, all married, all pastors, all three in prison for molesting kids. In 3 weeks, three guys. Now, I wasn't raised like you guys in your wonderful churches and having lit conferences and going to Bible camps. I was raised in an alcoholic's home with a grandfather. And when I got old enough, I would hitch a ride to church. I didn't even have your background. I was surrounded by every bit of sin you can even imagine. My mother ran off from us, and it was rough. And I'll tell you what I thought. If those guys can't make it, there's no way I can make it. I'm going to mess up. Guys, I was so scared that I told God, I said, God, I probably will never make it through. I'll end up like the rest of my family. So here's what I'll do, God. If you help me during Christmas vacation, I'm going to study every verse in your Bible that deals with thought life. I got up at 4 o'clock and studied from 5 o'clock to 12 o'clock every day for almost 2 weeks. And all I did had nothing to do with writing a book. Had everything to do with Rand being scared to death that he was going to mess up and lose my ministry and my family. And I started, ready, meditating. And I'd write down a verse, and I'd study and do a word study on every word of that verse until I'd write down what the verse means. And then I would write an application, how it applies to me. That's all this is. You guys are much smarter. Now, you probably could take these same verses, take the same study that I did with what they mean, but your application could be written much better than mine. And then we did the same thing with fear and with anger and with stress. It changed my life. Totally. I'm telling you, teens, I was one of the most angry men you'd ever want to meet. I hate to tell you this, but I'm being totally transparent on the power of the Word of God to change you. I'm faking. I'm working at the Wilds, North Carolina, but I'm a maintenance. I'm doing a lot of that work. My wife knew I was angry, but I fooled everybody else. And it wasn't until I put my fist through the wall at home, which is probably one of the most foolish, stupid things to do in the world. First of all, it hurts. I missed the joy, so I'm glad about that, but it hurts. When you put your fist through the wall, through the drywall, you know what you have to do next? You have to patch it. And if you've ever worked with drywall mud, I mean, to get that just smooth as can be, it's almost impossible. And even if you can get it sanded perfectly, then you have to paint it. You're never, ever going to get the paint to match the other paint. So I had to paint the whole room, and then the hallway, and then the living room, and I had to buy new furniture. We had to buy a new home because I put my fist through the wall, okay? And I'm telling you, when the Bible says that anger, wrath dwells in the heart of a foolish man, that is so true. I was scared. I was 27. My wife was so kind to try to put up with my anger. She knew my background. This is the way I was raised. Every bit of abuse was part of our family. The cursing, the threatening on our lives. This is the way I grew up. And that's when I said, okay, God, obviously I don't know you very well. I got up at 5, got up earlier, but at 5:30 to 7:30, I went to the book of Psalms. Because I figured I didn't know God very well. I wasn't saying I wasn't saved. I had prayed and asked Jesus to save me. I knew about God. And from 5:30 to 7:30, get this, you ready? For 18 months, I was scared. I was going to lose my family, my ministry. For 18 months, 2 hours every morning, I went nowhere but the book of Psalms. And I wrote down in a journal, just my Bible in a journal, God is my blank or my God is blank. God is my shepherd. God is my light. God is my high tower. My God is excellent. My God is strong. My God is patient? No, not with me. Oh, he is? After about 6 months, my wife said, man, there's something different about you. When I grew up, I never cried. I never, you don't do that when you come from tough homes. And now when kids start coming down the aisle, twice last summer, the speaker was speaking, kids were getting up and going to be saved, and I'm praising the Lord with my hand up, and he's asking who else needs to be saved, and I'm going like this. I didn't need to be saved again, okay? I was just so excited that people were going to be saved. I'm telling you, it totally changed my life. And many of you, you're young, you're at the place where your heart can meditate and think much quicker than these old people called sponsors, okay? For the last 20 minutes, you guys did excellent. And all we did for 20 minutes was meditate. You just got to do it with your friends. Do you really want to be a slave to sin? I doubt it. Did you know that love gives and lust, it takes? There are no secret sins. And why do you want what God forbids you to have? The root of all sexual sin is selfish pride. Don't be fooled by flattery. She really doesn't want you. You can't beat this all by yourself. You are accountable to God Himself. Don't just stay away from sin. Stay away from temptation. Your thoughts are simply an index to your character. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not. Say the next word. Got it? Whether it be lust or greed or anger or fear, disrespect to mom and dad, fighting with brothers and sisters, cheating and lying. And thy word have I hid that I might not sin. I will meditate upon thy precepts. I will speak to myself. I'll get with my friends and talk about them. And the end of verse 16, I will not forget thy word. Right in the middle of temptation, I've got it in my holster, ready to draw it out. The internet's a scary place. Dating girls is really scary, guys. You want to know how to keep your heart with all diligence? Learn to meditate on God's precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, you've shown us what we need. We need you. And you've already written down for us what you want us to know. We just don't know it like we should. Can you please help us not to look at this as just a conference that we're going to jump in our vehicles and go home and say we had fun? But could this not be something that would so grab a hold of our hearts that some of these teens would spend 18 months scared to dig into your word, to let you change the way they think and therefore change the way that they live? Help us to renew our minds. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us to understand that we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, that we can know that day by day, even though this outward man falls apart, the inward man can be renewed, changed, and made different. Help us to know we can think like Jesus and act like him and believe verses like what sort of things are true and pure and just and honorable and worthy of praise, that we would only think on those things. We do what we think. And we think what we love. Help every one of these teens to be so in love with you and your precious word and not in love with sin, that our lives can be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.